Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Evam saviplavita sarva dharma. Dasya pati pati to garya garmana. Nipatyamano niraye hata brata. Sadyo vimukto bhagavan namagrinan. Text 45 has no purport, so I will read text 46 and the purport, and I'll read the text 45 translation after the verse 46. Natāparam karma nibandha krintanam mumukshatam tirtha padanu kirtanat nayat puna karma shushajjite mano Rajas tamod bhyam kalilam tato nyata. Text 45 translation. Ajamiya was a Brahmin who, because of bad association, had given up all Brahminical culture and religious principles. Becoming most fallen, he stole, drank, and performed other abominable acts. He even kept a prostitute. Thus, he was destined to be carried away to hell by the order carriers of Yamaraj. But he was immediately rescued simply by a glimpse of the chanting of the holy name Narayan. Text 46, translation. Therefore, one who desires freedom from material bondage should adopt the process of chanting and glorifying the name, fame, form, and pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, at whose feet all the holy places stand. One cannot derive the proper benefit from other methods, such as pious atonement, speculative knowledge, and meditation in mystic yoga. Because even after following such methods, one takes to fruitive activities again, unable to control his mind, which is contaminated by the base qualities of nature, namely passion and ignorance. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. It has actually been seen that even after achieving so-called perfection, many karmis, jnanis, and yogis became attached to material activities again. Many so-called swamis and yogis gave up material activities as false, jagan mitya. But after some time, they nevertheless resume material activities by opening hospitals and schools or performing other activities for the benefit of the public. Sometimes they participate in politics, although still falsely declaring themselves sannyasis, members of the renounced order. The perfect conclusion, however, is that if one actually desires to get out of the material world, he must take to devotional service, which begins with Sravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, chanting and hearing the glories of the Lord. The Krishna consciousness movement has actually proved this. in the Western countries, many young boys who were addicted to drugs and who had many other bad habits which they could not give up, abandoned all those propensities and very seriously engaged in chanting the glories of the Lord as soon as they joined the Krishna consciousness movement. In other words, this process is the perfect method of atonement for actions performed in Raja and Tama, passion and ignorance, as stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st canto, 2nd chapter, text number 19. Tada rajas tama bhava kama lobha dayashchaye cheta eter anal vidham stitam sadve prashidati. As a result of Raja and Tama, one becomes increasingly lusty and greedy. But when one takes to the process of chanting and hearing, one comes to the platform of goodness and becomes happy. As he advances in devotional service, all his doubts are completely eradicated. Vidyate hridaya granti chidyante sarva sanshayah. Thus the knot of his desire for fruitive activities is cut to pieces. Omagyan. Impertinence, sitting here on a higher level than many who are far more exalted than myself and far more qualified to discuss Bhagavatam. However, I think the reason why I'm fortunate to get this position today is because you're looking at an example of what Prabhupada is explaining in the purport. A real live example on show. In the Western countries, many young boys who were addicted to drugs and who had many other bad habits which they could not give up, abandoned all those propensities and very seriously engaged in chanting the glories of the Lord as soon as they joined the Krishna consciousness movement. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So just to put on show an example here, somehow we were requested to speak on today's verse, even in spite of our lack of qualification. Of course, Western countries nowadays is not just over there, America, Europe, Australia, Britain. No, no, Western countries right here. Same thing that's going on there, going on here in Bombay. So this also Western countries. So we are all examples of Western boys and girls addicted to very bad habits and able to abandon, Prabhupada says, abandon these propensities. I know. I've been in India a few years now. I know what they're up to in the internet cafes, in the disco, the nightclub, Bombay, famous for the nightclubs. Right? I know what's going on. And yet here we're so happy to come and see so many devotees so seriously engaged in chanting the holy names. It's very, very wonderful to participate in the japa session here in Chaupati Mandir and to see so many devotees so seriously engaged in chanting the holy names. It's very inspiring. It's a holy tirtha. One's japa can be improved greatly by chanting in such an environment. So Prabhupada explains that other processes are not effective. And he mentions two processes. Particularly, this verse mentions, text 46, the fruitive, pious atonement, karma kanda, and speculative knowledge, jnana kanda. In the very beginning of this Srimad Bhagavatam, these processes are completely rejected. Yesterday, Radha Gopinath Prabhu was mentioning the very beginning of Bhagavatam. Dharma projita kaitava. That the kaitava dharma, Prabhupada translates kaitava dharma, cheating religion, cheating, kaitava, and pretentious religion. Pretentious means it's pretend religion. It looks like religion. Prescribed duties in the Vedic literature. It's religious. It's Vedic. It looks like the religious system, apparently. And even jnana, cultivation of knowledge, study of what is eternal, what is temporary. This also recommended in Vedic literature, in Bhagavad Gita. Nahi jnanane sadrishim pavitram iha vidyate. Krishna says nothing as wonderful as jnana in this world. In the fourth chapter, jnana yoga. So these things are encouraged in various places. However, what is the difference? What is the special feature of Bhagavad Dharma, which is different from these other apparent dharmas? What is the special feature? Well, in the very beginning of Bhagavatam, Vyasadev, he establishes what is that special feature. Dharma projita kaitava, the cheating religions are projita, ujita, they're rejected. Projita, they're completely rejected here. Completely rejected. Atra parama. And here, the supreme param dharma is given or is established. Atra parama. Here is the supreme dharma. Nirmat saranam satam vedyam. And that can only be understood by those who are nirmat saranam. That means not envious. Last night, Prabhu was discussing about envy, that even in spiritual life we may have envy. That when we see another devotee serving Krishna nicely, we want to actually see him fail. This is envy. Envy is like the snake is the example of envy. Because the snake, it doesn't actually eat its victims. It just poisons them. So it doesn't require to kill. You're walking down the path at night in Mayapur this time of year, many water, rain, many snakes. And sometimes at night time you can get bitten. And then you get the poison, but the snake doesn't require to bite you, to eat you for its maintenance. Just envy. Just wants to hurt you. And then this is envy. So we like to see others come down. This is material life. Because everything, just like last night we were discussing, my loss is another's advantage. Just like here, you have the border dispute. The border dispute. You know, so sometimes one country push the border further, and they get more land. Huh? Increase the border. So in the same way, you know, the exact reflection. The other country is losing land. We're increasing other country losing land. This is material life because everything is temporary. But what's the attitude of the Nirmat Saranam Bhakta without envy? Because this is the difference between these other processes, Jnana Yoga, Karma Yoga, that actually it's not uprooting the selfish propensity. It's not removing the deep-rooted selfish propensity. What is the process of Karma Yoga is that one's self-interest is there and fruitive results are the impetus, particularly material reward, either in this immediate life or in subsequent lives. That's why it's called fruitive work, Prabhupada translates, karma, fruitive work. That means the motivation is to enjoy the fruit, the result. So this is therefore selfish. Prabhupada, in lecturing on this verse, Dharma, this second verse of Bhagavatam, he says, this is sense gratification, gross. Karma, the path of karma is sense gratification, gross sense gratification. Although that is there in the Vedic literature, it's recommended. Sreya, Svadharma, Karma eva adhikaraste. Even in Gita, so many, without Bhagavad Gita as it is, so many people misunderstand Bhagavad Gita and say Bhagavad Gita is meant for, I'm entitled to do my karma and I'm entitled to enjoy the subsequent pious results from doing prescribed duties. So it looks religious, but actually it is a compromise. And in fact, in fifth chapter, which we'll be, those who are participating in our little Srimad Bhagavatam seminars next week, we'll be discussing this very wonderful section of Narad's teachings to Vyas on Srimad Bhagavatam, chapters 4 to 7 of first canto. So Narad chastises Vyas. Jugupshitam, why have you done this abominable activity of writing all these Vedic literature? Tadvayasam tirtam ukshantimanasa, which is considered by the saintly persons as a place of pilgrimage for the crows, what you have compiled, because it looks religious. And this way, Vyasadeva, Narad, very heavy preaching to Vyas, that you have actually done a disservice because of allowing people to continue with their sense gratificatory propensities in the name of religion. Therefore, you're feeling dissatisfied. Therefore, now you must write one book. The sages at Naimisharanya, they inquired from Sudha Goswami, from where did Vyasadeva get the inspiration to compile Srimad Bhagavatam? And Sudha Goswami is explaining, hearing these cutting words, these instructions from Narad, then he was inspired. Yes, I've made a mistake. I have to rectify by writing one book, which is Kaitab Dharma Projita, completely rejecting all these other processes. So then the process of Jnana also, it looks like it's, of course, Jnana is better even than karma. Jnana is better. Krishna says, better than karma is Jnana, better than Jnana is yoga, in the end of the sixth chapter. Tasmat yogi bhavajana, therefore become a yogi. And amongst all yogis, bhajate, same, what is that? Saravan bhajate jomam same jukta utam mata, the highest is he who always worships me and abides by me. So better than karma is Jnana, but it's not best. Better, but not best. Better because even Krishna says, Jnani tattvaiva amematam, that he recommends that we have to come to the platform of knowledge. In the seventh chapter of the Gita. Out of all those who surrender, Krishna says that those who have knowledge are the best. So Jnana is better because at least it's not gross sense gratification based upon the immediate desires to pleasure, for the pleasures of the material senses, either in this life or the next life. But it's based upon, Prabhupada says, subtle sense gratification. Subtle sense gratification. The desire for liberation. The desire to be free from the material entanglement, material suffering. That is also, Prabhupada explains, the last snare of Maya, the final stage, the most subtle stage, that I want to become God. So this jnana also is actually not the best. And the deep-rooted selfishness can remain even in one who has developed jnana. That personal interest, what's in it for me? I want eternal life. I want freedom from suffering. And it's all about me. So that can remain there, even being established in so-called gyan. Therefore, Prabhupada explains that even the so-called pakagyanis and yogis, that there's manifestation of further fruitive activity and selfish activities even after coming to the platform of maturity in that gyan, because the root is still there, not uprooted. Kechit kevalaya bhaktya. Aham, what is that? Vasudeva Purana. Aham niharam eva bhaskara. Just like the rising sun, it evaporates right to the roots. This Bhagavad Dharma process. And then this very nice verse Prabhupada refers to in the second chapter of first canto, that this process, simply, we don't need to do prescribed duties in the Vedic literature, the karma, kanda. We don't need to follow it, and we're not interested in the cultivation of jnana alone. We are interested in one thing only. Only one thing required. And Prabhupada says one thing, but different angles of it, but the same thing. It's glorification of Krishna, Bhagavat Dharma. Bhagavat Dharma, which is what Srimad Bhagavatam is all about. Jashmin pratishlokam avadi abhatyapi namani anantasya yishon kintaniyat srinvanti gayanti. This glorification of the... What is that? Tadvag Bisharga. This type of literature. Tadvag Bisharga Janadarga Viplama Yashmin Proti Shlokam Abadi Avatyapi. Narad says that this type of literature, which is full of the description of the Lord, Nayad Yatras Chitra Padan Harera Jasho Jagat Pavitram Pagrinita Kahichit, can purify the entire universe. Because it is in relation to Lord Hari and his glories. And then Prabhupada's quoting these verses that Srinvadam Swakata Krishna Punna Shabana Kirtana. Just by hearing and chanting about Krishna, one. There's a very nice section of verses in the second chapter of the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, which explains right from the very beginning. Because the sages at Naimasharanya, they asked Suta Goswami, what is the best process? What is the greatest welfare for all living beings? What is the essence of all scripture? So Suta Goswami is explaining simply this process of hearing and chanting about Krishna. This is the Param Dharma. This is the highest religious principle. Yayatma Suprasiddhiti, and that which will give full satisfaction to every living being. And Prabhupada is quoting these verses. Actually, he quotes the full section of verses in the first verse of 7th chapter of Srimad Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna says, Tat Shrinu. You know, in the first six chapters, Arjuna is saying so much, asking so many questions, so much discussion is going on. But then Krishna begins 7th chapter, Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Tat Shrinu. Now, enough. We've heard enough. Just listen. And then the subsequent 4, 5 chapters, 7 to 12, Arjuna only says 2, 3 things. The rest of it, Krishna simply speaks, and Arjuna listens. And that is the essence of Rajavidya, the most confidential knowledge of Bhagavatam, is explained in that section. Arjuna doesn't say anything, just listens. So in the beginning of that section, Prabhupada quotes all these verses, 2.1.17 to 2.1.21, and explains by hearing regularly, Nashta Prayishu Baddesh Nittam Bhagavat Sevaya, just by regular Bhagavat Sevaya, just like we're doing now, hearing Bhagavatam. Nittam Bhagavat Sevaya Bhagavat Bhakti Uttama Bhakti Rabhavati Naishtiki, that the devotion to the Lord becomes established in the heart. And Ridyanta Shtohi Abhadrani, that Krishna, who is Ridyanta within the heart, Ridyantashto, situated within the heart, he abhadrani bidunoti, he personally cleanses abhadrani, all of the abhadra, all of the inauspicious things, right to the root. Surit satam. Because he's surit, he's very affectionately inclined toward the devotee who's chanting his glories. So this is the process, how it works. Prabhupada comments on that verse that Krishna personally does the work of cleaning away the deep-rooted selfish desires that the other paths of karma and jnana are ineffective to achieve. Krishna personally does that work. So that is why this process is so powerful, because it doesn't require, it doesn't depend upon our own ability. It depends upon the Lord's reciprocation with our service. So he's very this is the nature of the process. That the Lord's glorification of the Lord, mam ebya paramabhyayam tribir gunamayi bhavai ebi sarvamidam jagat. Everyone in this material world is bewildered by these three modes. Mohitam nabijanati, therefore they do not understand me. Mam ebya param abhyayam, who am above these modes. Mam ebya, I am above these. Param abhyayam, transcendental to these modes. So, hearing about Krishna is also transcendental to these modes. Chanting Krishna's name is transcendental to these modes. Therefore, tada, Sudha Goswami continues, then, rajas tama bhava, the effects of the rajaguna and the tamaguna, kama lobha, which are particularly lust and greed. And these two things. This is Western civilization. And now it's all over. It's all over here. It's everywhere. It's these two things, lust and greed. These are the pillars, the foundation of Western culture. Based upon these two things, everywhere you look, you see that it's education, it's propagation, that you are the senses. Just everywhere, any success in the material world, Western culture, Western values, success means how much lust you can satisfy, how much you can enjoy sense gratification, and lobha, how much you can get. That is the education, that is the values, that is considered to be successful life. He who got a lot, he who enjoyed a lot. That's Western culture. It's built upon karma, lobha, lust and greed. And what is our Vedic culture? Trivida naraka shedam dvaram nashanam atmana karma krodo tata lobha tasmat etat tayam trijet. It's to give up these things particularly. There are three gates to hell. Trivida naraka shedam dvaram nashanam atmana. Three doorways to hell. Karma, krodha, lobha. Lust, anger, greed. Tasmat etam trayam chajet. Therefore, a human being, an intelligent man, has to abandon these things. Otherwise, dvaram nashanam atmanaha. He's going through the gate to self-destruction. Narakash, trivida narakash, they're going to hell, basically. Western culture means going to hell, according to Bhagavad Gita. So, therefore, we have to take to this chanting process. Otherwise, we can't become cleared. Tada rajas tama bhava, the effects of raja and tama. Cheta ete anavidham. They are completely cleansed. They are completely removed from the consciousness. Cheta, the heart. Cheta ete, these things, anavidham, are completely removed. The effects of raja and tama. Stitam sadvei. One achieves the platform of goodness, prasiddhi, and becomes completely happy. Simply by this chanting process. And as we mentioned, that this is the glories of the holy name. And Ajamil is a perfect example of the potency of chanting. And he is not the only example. We are all examples. And I myself as an example. That one can actually feel relief. He can feel freedom from. He can feel the deliverance from the influence of the Raja and Tamaguna. And in that way, can make his life successful. Of course, also this verse Prabhupada quotes explains, Stitam sattva prasiddhi. He attains sattva guna. We may ask, well, Why sattva-guna? Why? But, of course, next verse goes on to explain. Bhagavad-bhakti-yoga-ta evam prasanna-manasa. Bhagavad-bhakti-yoga, bhagavad-tattva-vijnanam. He attains full realization of the personality of Godhead. But also, the symptoms, of observable symptoms will be that he is achieved the mode of goodness. He's become completely free. And mode of goodness is not the goal, but from there, it's conducive. Mode of goodness is conducive to further realization, to spiritual realization. Urdhvam gach chanti sattvasto. Those situated in goodness, they go higher. So we have to come to the mode of goodness. Otherwise, we can't make advancement. So this process of hearing and chanting, it removes that propensity. This matsarata, this enviousness of others, can be removed by the Bhagavat Seva, Nittam Bhagavat Sevaya. That we can actually remove that hardcore. That when we see my purpose here, anyabhilashita shunya, other desires without jnana karma, is particularly jnana. Unukulena Krishna anu. What is going to be pleasing for Krishna? What is favorable for Krishna? Shilanam bhaktir uttam. This is our process. This is our process that we do whatever's pleasing to Krishna. So when we see others pleasing Krishna, our purpose has been fulfilled. Yeah? We see others pleasing Krishna. We don't feel envy. Because this is what we're trying to do. So this only, this anukulena krishnanu, shilanam bhakti rutama, this process of devotional service is the only thing that can actually bring out, can actually awaken, can actually revive our eternal, natural, pure, perfect spirit self. This is not something we have to get from another place. We are meant for that. We are that, a pure lover of Krishna. Krishna Prem. Nitta Siddha Krishna Prem, Saddhika Bunaya. It's not, this pure love for Krishna is not got from another place. It is there in the heart that I am Krishna's servant. Shravanadi. And based on the process of hearing, Shuddha Chitte, everything else becomes clear, purified, cleansed. Kuraya Udai, and it awakens that natural love, that natural propensity to serve Krishna, to satisfy Krishna, to please Krishna. Udai, it arises like the sun in the heart. So this is the process. Immediately we can become connected to the process by just beginning to chant Hare Krishna. Then immediately we're acting in our eternal constitutional position. What is that? Nitya Krishna Das. I am servant of Krishna. I'm meant to please Krishna, chant Hare Krishna, glorify Krishna for his satisfaction. Immediately we can come to the topmost platform. Immediately. By chanting Hare Krishna. By hearing about Krishna. And this is the process that Bhagavatam is recommending. That is Sanatana Dharma. That is the eternal nature of the soul, to serve Krishna, satisfy Krishna, and Param Dharma. And this process can be fully experienced, can be fully perfected, can be fully achieved immediately by the hearing and chanting process. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Any questions on today's verse? Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, you did explain how to get rid of enviousness, but because, I mean, it's noticed that maybe lust and greed are a little easier to get rid of than enviousness. And of course, the general solution is to chant better and to serve devotees better. But is there anything specific, that one can attempt to do? Because enviousness is very difficult to.
Good question. We're not actually. This is a good question. When we take initiation, there are two things we have to do. Chant Hare Krishna, follow four regulative principles. Now, actually, the reason why we make the vow to follow four regulative principles is because that puts us on the platform of sattva-guna. But simply being on the platform of sattva-guna doesn't give you prema-bhakti. For many, many lives, you can be in sattva-guna. You can follow the regulative principles. You won't get prema bhakti. So chanting Hare Krishna is actually all we require. But why do we take the vow? Because also we have to cultivate the motor goodness as well as chanting. Therefore, we worship the deity. Even though in this age, the process, Jagya Sankirtana Praye, is completely the Sankirtan Yagya. But everywhere Prabhupada went, he established deities. Why? Because brahminical life is also required. Prabhupada said that my mission is to establish a class of first-class men. First class means what? That means sattva guna, brahminical class. Prabhupada says in the 17th verse of 14th chapter of Bhagavad Gita purport, he says, even if a small percentage of the population become established in sattva guna, then there will be peace and prosperity in the whole world. So Prabhupada's mission is to actually create Brahmins, real Brahmins, authentic Brahmins, or genuine. So we have to actually try to cultivate the mode of goodness, live a mode of goodness lifestyle. Jugdahara, eat in the mode of goodness. Yukta cheta shakarmashu, work in the mode of goodness. It has to be connected. All of these things, they affect our consciousness. This is brahminical lifestyle. Yogi, bhakti yogi, he's in the mode of goodness. Yukta swapnavabodasha, we have to, everything. Yukta means connect. So that may connect. That means that brahminical lifestyle. So that will, if we cultivate the mode of goodness, that will reduce the influence of the mode of passion and the mode of ignorance in our hearts. And in this way, in addition to chanting, we can anarta nivritti, remove all the unwanted things from the heart. Radha Gopinath Prabhu, some additional comment?
Hare Krishna. Very nicely you enumerated about the Kama Lobha. Kama means to enjoy and Lobha means to lord it over. Bhoga Ishwarya Prasattanam, I was thinking that's also connected like that. And regarding this coming to the mode of goodness, I was discussing with one devotee who is a businessman. And he said, Prabhu, it's just not possible to stay in the world and come to the mode of goodness. they just go ill together. Because in case you come to the mode of goodness and try to kind of do it, just you'll be like a bulldozer rolled over. Unless you have that cutting edge and, you know, that mode of passion, you can't survive in this world. Otherwise, I have to join the ashram. So, you know. Actually, he preached to me effectively. And I was thinking, I really wanted to give him an answer, but then I said, a little, let me think over. So, I don't know. How do you say? Because the way he explained, the kind of activity that, because the whole environment is surcharged with the mode of passion and ignorance. And unless you are a part of it, you can't survive. No.
Then, good question. Then, you have to follow the example of Arjuna. You have to follow the example of Arjuna. That do it, but do it for Krishna. Then it's transcendental. Arjuna also, he wasn't worried about, you know, juktahara, eating and cleanliness and on the battle, you know. It was very intense. But it wasn't rajaguna, it was shuddhasattva, karishe bachanamtava, because it was Krishna's order. So Arjuna wasn't enjoying the result. So if we're involved in this material world and in a way compromising the brahminical standards, we'll be affected by that. But if we engage in that particular activity very enthusiastically to serve Krishna, then that type of activity it won't bind us to the material world. It will actually be our cause of our liberation. So that is the only hope, that That, all right, actually simple living, high thinking is best. That we have to make a little less money, basically. And, you know, cultivate more knowledge, gyan, and less, and be satisfied with more hearing and chanting and simple living. That's best. That's conducive for, that's Brahminical life. That he's satisfied with less. So you get bulldozed. If he's capable of that, okay, get bulldozed. But you'll be satisfied anyway. Get bulldozed. You won't be such a big man as you could have been. But it'll be more for your spiritual life. It'll be more. You'll achieve more. So if that's possible, but it depends on the person's nature. If it's not possible, then all right, make lots of money, be a big success, and then you know, build a temple or help us book publication or like that. So it depends on individual and their capability. we have to see what is the best way to advise. If they're not capable of simple living, then better that they engage in their natural propensity to work, jat karoshi, what you like to do. Mat tat kurushva madarpanam, but do it for me. Do it for Krishna. And they'll be purified of that. And of course, chanting Hare Krishna has to be there. Hearing and chanting has to be there for everybody. Even you're going to the office, still come to the temple, as so many of you are doing. Come to the temple and or study Bhagavatam, hear Bhagavatam at home, serve Vaishnavas, Bhagavat Sevaya. Serve Prabhupada, serve Prabhupada's followers, and serve Bhagavatam, hear Bhagavatam. That will remove. Undoubtedly, if you keep up hearing and chanting. So that has to go on, regardless of your other activities. And then what your natural inclination to work, no point in being simple living, high thinking, if it's not your qualification, if you're not inclined to that, you won't be happy. You'll be doing business in the ashram. Right? And also, if you're not inclined, if you're more inclined to that, then no point in trying to do other activities, because you know you won't be successful. So you have to see what is your nature to work, and work in that way. Yes, Babu.
Prabhuji, just taking off from Radha Gopinath Prabhu's question and your reply, sometimes we see that when devotees are interacting together, particularly in management, in managing ISKCON projects, there is sometimes feeling in some devotees that they should do more in order to please their spiritual master. And then, while doing more, there is always this tendency of competition. And because of this competition, there is sometimes some decisions that are taken which might hurt other devotees. Then how does one know whether this has been done out of our deep-seated desire for prestige or out of envy, because it is so deep within our heart, this envy is so deep within our heart. How does one know that, and how does one correct it in case it is there?
Good. The question, we could look at it from the specific case perhaps, but just generally speaking, then for management, a principle is accountability and transparency. Same, we're in the field of education, and we have a principle of transparency that the students and the teacher, everyone knows exactly what's going on. So in management, there's a principle of accountability and also transparency that we're not keeping anything, you know, in terms of whether or not, analyzing whether or not the decision was based upon my material contamination, then we have to be prepared to show everybody, be accountable, that this is why we made the decision. Here's all the accounts, here's all the, and the reasons for it, and don't be duplicitous, which is a tendency in management, to be duplicitous in order to achieve things. So that's not appropriate for dealing with devotees, that we have to be honest. and basically everything, you know, should be clear why we make decisions to those who are in the, you know, executive capacity. And we can show everything should be able, we should be accountable. This is why we made the decision. And it's not, and therefore, we have to, even in management, one has to be sattvic. Sattvic means dutiful. That I made the decision because it was my duty, and these are the reasons. Not for my enjoyment, but my duty. So sattvic also has to be there. Sometimes we have to make decision, administer, but it should be done on the basis of the duty. Ultimately, that's why this sattva-guna is suitable, because duty, the principle of duty, it's reflecting the spiritual platform. That's why sthitam sattva, he comes to the platform of goodness, because externally, the transcendentalist appears to be in the mode of goodness, because he does his duty without interest for his own enjoyment. He does his duty. Okay? Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. You mentioned, Prabhu, how Narada Muni corrected Vyasadev regarding, because he wrote literature which is encouraged sense gratification. And then after that he compiled, you know, we have Srimad Bhagavatam, you know, Bhagavat Puran. I just had this question before also, but I forgot to ask in different classes. Why is it in Srimad Bhagavatam different chapters, and the end of chapters there is benedictions, which does not look like pure devotional service? So many chapters that, you know, we can become, you know, you can conquer three worlds, you can be this or that. I cannot remember a specific chapter because, it's there. What's your opinion? Why Srimad Bhagavatam gives this benediction?
There's different angles we can look at on that. One angle is that sometimes also Bhagavatam discusses, second canto discusses yoga, Astanga yoga, Paramatma realization, all of these things that previously, you know, from the initial point looked like we rejected. And Vanasham Dharma, so many things. So in one way we can say, one comment is that at the Sukadev Goswami was reciting, and many who were there were not Nirmatsaranam. Sukadev Goswami was reciting to Parikshit Maharaj, and also so many other people had gathered there at that time. So other he makes other points to encourage those.
Hare Krishna. Well, this means that he delivered message, not really line of Vyasadev, because, I mean, as far as I understand, Vyasadev was supposed to give, literature of pure devotional service, but Shukadeva Goswami delivered message, well, time, place, or circumstances, and he encouraged also different, karma yoga or whatever.
I don't understand. Is that a question or?
No, you mentioned because of different devotees were that assembly, they could not.
So Vyas compiled the whole of Bhagavatam.
Sorry, I could not hear that.
Well, you said there was something between difference between what Sukadev Goswami and what Vyas wanted.
No, because presented
upon, is it that Sukadev Goswami presented upon the time, the circumstances? You mentioned because many other people were there. When the Vyasdev presented pure devotional service, but Sukadev Goswami seeing different kinds of people in the assembly, did he present?
Well, he says, even if you are a jnani and you have no desires, sarva karma. Or even if you have so many desires, akama, if you, moksha karma, even if you desire liberation, udara ditivrena bhakti jogena. So why is he saying that? because obviously people, he's speaking to people who have these things. Bhakti Jogana Yajeta Purusham Param, and he's speaking, and all those who have these desires, you just serve Krishna, your desires will be fulfilled. So obviously he's preaching to the relevant to the needs of the people who are hearing. So, but that doesn't compromise the Bhagavad Dharma. It supports it. Because it shows that that it's the Param Dharma, and it includes the perfections of all the preliminary dharmas. Yes, please comment.
Just a comment on this. Many years ago, somebody asked the same question to Jayapataka Swami Maharaj, and he answered it in a different way. He said, so sometimes in a very well-known shop, some discount is offered to attract new customers. The old customers are regularly going to come. But just to attract new customers, 50% discount and all that. And once they come inside and get addicted, then whether discount or no discount, then they'll start coming. So you explain it like that.
Very good. Hare Krishna Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki Srila Prabhupada ki.